Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Danielle Bloom, and today we will study Parshas Vezos HaBracha. As we approach the conclusion of our exploration of the Parshios in Devarim, we take a moment to reflect on the invaluable legacy that Moshe Rabbeinu has bestowed upon us, a spiritual compass that sheds light on the fundamental values of the Torah and the essence of a meaningful existence. This guide, intricately woven into the fabric of the Torah, outlines the core principles necessary for cultivating a just society and promoting personal growth. Throughout our study, we have delved into the significance of hope, purpose, gratitude, empathy, and lifelong learning as foundational elements for building a resilient character. Discipline and self-control, often perceived merely as forms of restraint, emerge as essential tools for enhancing our character and facilitating our personal development. Additionally, the deep relationship between simcha and self-esteem, critical components for leading a fulfilling life, resonates throughout the wisdom of the Torah. At the heart of these teachings lies the concept of free will, which empowers us to embrace growth, seek forgiveness, and advance with intention. We have also discussed the importance of having an oscillating family narrative to foster resilience, emphasizing how stories of both struggle and triumph can strengthen familial bonds and individual fortitude. The Torah equips us with the tools to navigate the challenges and temptations of life, establishing a framework for cultivating these vital virtues. Furthermore, contemporary scholarship is increasingly revealing the profound depth of the Torah's teachings, providing new perspectives on the Jewish people's enduring legacy and their remarkable contributions throughout history. This growing recognition highlights the Torah's timeless significance and illuminates the divine guidance that has shaped our historical journey. This week, we'll delve into the final gifts that Moshe Rabbeinu bestowed upon us, humility and truth. Moshe is often regarded as the ultimate level 5 leader, a concept popularized by Jim Collins in his book, Good to Great. Level 5 leadership is characterized by a unique combination of personal humility and professional will, where leaders prioritize the success of their organizations and teams over their own personal glory. They are fiercely determined and driven to achieve results, yet they do so with a modesty that fosters trust and respect among their followers. In this light, Moshe exemplifies Level 5 leadership through his selflessness and deep commitment to his people. His leadership style is characterized by humility. It's not about him or his personal glory, but rather about the well-being and future of Bnei Israel. A striking illustration of this humility is found in the Torah, where it explicitly states that no one knows the location of Moshe's burial place. By ensuring that his burial site remains unknown, Moshe emphasizes that his legacy is not tied to a specific place or monument. Instead, it is rooted in the values and teachings he imparted to his people. Furthermore, the Torah itself proclaims that Moshe is the most humble of all men, highlighting the depth of his character and reinforcing the notion that true greatness is often accompanied by humility. Just as simcha cannot be pursued directly, rather it emerges as the natural outgrowth of a life lived with purpose and meaning, so too with humility. You cannot simply strive to be humble as an isolated goal. Instead, humility develops as a byproduct of working on yourself, cultivating your talents, and striving to live the best life you can. To reach true humility, you must internalize two key realizations. First, recognize the awesomeness of Hashem, understanding that through Him, all things are possible. This awareness fosters a deep sense of gratitude and empowers you to believe in your potential. Second, grasp the humbling truth that without Hashem, we are incapable of achieving anything on our own. It is this balance of empowerment and humility, knowing that we can accomplish great things with Hashem's help, but acknowledging our limitations without Him, that leads to genuine humility. Together, these two realizations form a powerful foundation for both spiritual growth and personal development. The more you integrate them into your life, the more naturally humility will emerge, just as simcha does when one leads a life aligned with higher values and purpose. A third essential element we must add to this equation is the compass of emes, truth. In our pursuit of meaning and purpose, we must tenaciously seek out what is true and live in accordance with that truth. Truth is the foundation that guides us, and without it, we lose direction. It's no coincidence that the final parsha of the Torah, Vezos HaBracha, is the only one read on a Yom Tov, not connected to a Shabbos. We read it on Simchas Torah, a day dedicated to celebrating the Torah itself, and we joyfully sing out, Moshe Emes, Vesoraso Emes. Moshe is true, and his Torah is true. This declaration is more than just a festive chant. It's a profound recognition of the centrality of truth in our lives. Rambam teaches, Osasa Emes, Mipnesho Emes. One must pursue truth simply because it is truth. This underscores the imperative that all else must be subservient to the truth. It calls on us to humble ourselves before the truth, not because it's convenient or self-serving, but because truth, by its very nature, demands our loyalty and dedication. Loyalty to the truth also cultivates humility within us. When we are committed to truth, we must constantly confront the limitations of our own understanding, acknowledging that we don't always have the answers. By being servants to truth rather than our own egos or desires, we're able to maintain a posture of humility. We realize that no matter how much we grow or achieve, we remain bound by a higher standard, emes, that requires us to be honest with ourselves and others. As we surrender to this higher standard, we develop true humility, recognizing that life is not about bending truth to fit our needs, but about bending ourselves to live in accordance with it. This dynamic, where truth guides us and keeps us humble, is at the very core of a life rooted in Torah. Rav Hirsch explains that it won't always be easy to live this way. People will oppose the truth because living a life aligned with these values is hard, but the Torah will succeed. He writes that because the demands of the Torah are great, it will always have haters. And Moshe recognized that this Torah, from its very entry into the world, would have to expect oivim, opponents, and misanim, that people would hate it. Its demands for justice and love are so very much in opposition to the dictates of force and selfishness, the curse of which is felt so keenly by the weak and needy. And its demands for self-control and sanctification of morals are so much in contrast to the allures of ignoble passion that one finds in the breast of the ignoble masses in all classes. Not only sonim, but misanim. Not only hatred, but persecution. And still, Moshe recognized the final victory of his Torah in the world. In his insightful book, Michal Goodman draws a compelling contrast between Moshe and the pharaohs of Egypt, highlighting that while the Egyptians sought to defy their leaders and control the narrative of death and immortality, Moshe represents the, quote, anti-Egypt, where the pharaohs were obsessed with their own power and the idea of achieving eternal status through monumental tombs. Moshe exemplifies a different approach to leadership, one that prioritizes community over self-interest. He's not a figure who seeks to be worshipped or memorialized. Instead, he embodies the essence of servant leadership. The Torah pays Moshe Rabbeinu the ultimate compliment by calling him Moshe Eved Hashem, servant leadership at its finest. He dedicated his life to guiding his people and ensuring their spiritual and moral development. This contrast underscores Moshe's role as a transformative leader who breaks away from the oppressive practices of Egypt. His humility and dedication to the collective mission of the Jewish people invite us to reflect on the qualities that define true leadership. Rather than seeking personal glory, Moshe teaches that the greatest legacy a leader can leave is a strong and united community grounded in faith, purpose, and a commitment to shared values. His example serves as an enduring reminder of the power of selflessness in leadership and the profound impact it can have on shaping a nation's identity and destiny. How could Moshe be so confident in giving a bracha to each shevet? Wouldn't he have concerns that such individualized attention might foster jealousy among them? The answer lies in a deeper understanding of humility and self-esteem. Moshe's confidence in bestowing blessings stems from his awareness of the unique roles and contributions of each shevet, recognizing that diversity is essential to the strength of the community as a whole. Just as Yaakov Avinu before him gave out blessings on his deathbed, despite witnessing the conflict among his sons, he understood that every individual has a specific purpose and set of talents, all of which contribute to a shared mission. The only way to fight jealousy is by having us realize that we are one team. This perspective aligns with Stephen Covey's concept of a win-win mindset, which emphasizes mutual benefit and collaboration. Covey argues that true success is not about competing for limited resources, but about finding ways for everyone to succeed together. By bestowing blessings on each shevet, Moshe reinforces the idea that when one shevet thrives, it uplifts the entire nation. Rather than seeing blessings as a zero-sum game, where one person's gain is another's loss, Moshe highlights that each shevet's blessing complements the others, enriching the entire nation. This approach fosters an environment of collaboration and support, rather than competition. Additionally, Moshe's approach reflects his profound humility. He understands that his role as a leader is not to elevate himself, but to empower others. By celebrating the unique strengths of each shevet, he encourages them to utilize their God-given talents in ways that align with their collective purpose. This understanding helps alleviate the fear of jealousy. When individuals recognize that their contributions are valuable and necessary for the success of the whole, they are more likely to feel inspired rather than envious. Ultimately, Moshe's blessings serve to unify the Shvatim, reinforcing the idea that everyone has a vital role in the larger narrative of the Jewish people. This confidence in fostering individual strengths while promoting communal unity reflects the core values of humility and self-esteem, illustrating that when we work together with a shared vision, there is truly nothing to fear. In this way, Moshe exemplifies a win-win leadership style that not only uplifts individuals, but also strengthens the entire community. Carol Dweck and Adam Grant's research both emphasize the vital role of humility in fostering personal growth, collaboration, and success, though they approach it from different angles. Dweck's work on the growth mindset highlights humility as a key trait that enables individuals to recognize their limitations and accept that they don't know everything. This mindset fosters a willingness to learn, as humble individuals are more open to feedback and less likely to react defensively to criticism. Instead, they see constructive feedback as an opportunity for improvement. In Dweck's view, humility not only enhances personal growth, but also creates a collaborative and supportive learning environment where people engage in meaningful discussions, ask questions, and seek help when needed. Humble individuals also celebrate other successes without feeling threatened, fostering a positive atmosphere that supports collective growth. Adam Grant, an organizational psychologist, focuses on humility within leadership and workplace dynamics. He defines humility as a balanced awareness of one's strengths and weaknesses, allowing individuals to acknowledge their limitations and learn from others. Grant's research shows that humble leaders are more effective because they create an open, trusting environment where team members feel comfortable sharing ideas, providing feedback, and collaborating without fear of judgment. Humility enhances innovation by encouraging teams to explore diverse perspectives and challenge the status quo, while also improving decision-making as humble leaders are more receptive to input from various sources. Both Dweck and Grant argue that cultivating humility is essential not only for individual growth, but for building stronger relationships within teams, organizations, and communities. Whether in educational settings or the workplace, humility fosters an environment where learning, innovation, and collective success are prioritized, ultimately leading to greater fulfillment and achievement for all involved. By creating cultures that value humility, both scholars show how personal and communal success is intricately tied to this powerful trait. Similarly, Brandon, the father of the self-esteem movement, explored humility within the context of self-esteem and personal development. He defined true humility as an expression of self-awareness and confidence, emphasizing that it is not a sign of weakness, but rather a vital component of authentic self-esteem. Brandon argued that humility allows individuals to recognize their limitations without diminishing their self-worth, enhancing their capacity to learn and grow. He distinguished humility from arrogance, explaining that while self-esteem is rooted in a balanced understanding of one's strengths and weaknesses, arrogance is a defense mechanism for deep-seated insecurities. Ultimately, Brandon believed that humility enriches personal relationships and creates more supportive environments by fostering empathy, openness, and continuous learning. The final message that Moshe leaves the people with is Ashrecha Yisrael, mi kamocha. You are so fortunate, Yisrael, who is like you? In modern parlance, it's geschmack to be a Yid. This proclamation encapsulates a profound sense of gratitude and optimism as he bids farewell to Bnei Yisrael. By highlighting their unique relationship with Hashem and the blessings they have received, Moshe emphasizes the remarkable journey they have undertaken and the divine guidance they have experienced. This positive and upbeat farewell serves as a powerful reminder of the strength and resilience of the Jewish people, urging them to reflect on their identity and the privileges of their covenant with Hashem. Rather than focusing on the challenges they faced in the desert or the uncertainties ahead, Moshe chooses to celebrate their special status as a nation chosen for a purpose. His words inspire hope and encourage Bnei Israel to carry forward a sense of pride and responsibility as they enter the Promised Land. This uplifting message not only reinforces their unique mission, but also fosters a collective spirit of optimism, urging them to embrace their future with courage and faith. Ultimately, Moshe's parting words remind them of the importance of gratitude and the power of a positive outlook as they embark on the next chapter of their journey. A critically important lesson we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu is encapsulated in the very title by which Klal Yisrael has called him throughout history, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe our teacher, not our king, leader, or saint, but our teacher. Why this specific title? This teaches us the profound importance of having a Rebbe, a spiritual guide who holds our hand and leads us through life's challenges and uncertainties. Moshe is still Rabbeinu, still guiding us through the ages, showing us the centrality of having someone to help us navigate our spiritual journey. The idea of needing a spiritual guide is deeply embedded in Jewish thought, as seen in the Mishnah's command to Aseh Lecha Rav, make for yourself a teacher. This emphasizes the necessity of having someone outside ourselves to provide wisdom, direction, and clarity. A Rebbe doesn't just impart knowledge, he helps shape our character, offering the perspective and guidance that we may not be able to find on our own. A Rebbe plays a unique role in shaping not only our intellect, but also our soul and moral development. The halachic obligation to sechiva for a Rebbe further illustrates the deep personal connection between a student and their spiritual teacher. The loss of a Rebbe is likened to the loss of a close family member because a Rebbe's influence penetrates so deeply into a person's life. Through Moshe Rabbeinu, we see that this relationship is not merely a practical or intellectual one, but an intimate bond that shapes who we are. This explains why we still feel such closeness to Moshe today, thousands of years later. He's not just a historical figure. He is our teacher, the guide who continues to help us on our journey through life. This connection to Moshe Rabbeinu reflects a timeless truth. We need someone beyond ourselves to help us grow spiritually. Just as Moshe led our ancestors through the desert, he continues to lead us today through his teachings and example. His title Rabbeinu isn't just a name. It's a reminder that we are never alone in our spiritual path and that the wisdom of a Rebbe remains central to our ability to live with purpose, clarity, and connection to Hashem. Rabbi Sachs writes, Moses does not exist in Judaism as an object of worship, but as a role model for each of us to aspire to. He is the eternal symbol of a human being made great by what he strove for, not by what he actually achieved. The titles conferred by him in the Torah, the man Moses, God's servant, a man of God, are all the more impressive for their modesty. Moses continues to inspire. Five times the Torah refers to Moses as Ish, man. Moses was the greatest Jew who ever lived, but he was and remained a human being. Ha'ish Moshe, Moses, mortal, fallible, full of doubts about himself, often frustrated, occasionally angry, once failing into an abyss of despair. That is the Moses who set his seal on the people he led to freedom, permanently enlarging their horizons of aspiration. The Moses we meet in the Torah is not a mythical figure, an epic hero, an archetype, his blemishes airbrushed away to turn him into an object of adoration. He is human, gloriously human. As we take our leave of Moses and he of us, the picture we have is indelible. It is a picture of a man who came close to despair, yet left an immortal legacy of hope, who died without finishing his journey, yet who has been with the Jewish people on its journeys ever since. It is his very humanity that shines forth from the pages of the Torah, sometimes with such radiance that we are afraid to look, but always and only a moral and fallible human being, a medium through whom God spoke, an emissary through whom God acted, reminding us eternally that though we too are only mortal, we too can achieve greatness to the extent that we allow the presence of God to flow through us, his word guiding us, his breath giving us life. I'd like to share a poignant medrash quoted by the Das Zakenu Mibalei HaTosfos on the words Vayamas Shem Moshe that captures the deep love that Hashem and the entire cosmos had for Moshe Rabbeinu, as it offers an incredible description of Moshe Rabbeinu's final moments. Hashem said to Moshe, "You proclaimed about me that there is none other than me, Ein Od Milvado, so I will proclaim about you that there is none other than you. V'lo kam Navi Od b'Yisrael k'Moshe." This powerful exchange illustrates the unparalleled greatness of Moshe, the most unique of all prophets. At that moment, Hashem descended with three malachim and prepared a special bed for Moshe. Hashem himself stood at the head, and each malach stood on either side. Hashem gently instructed Moshe how to lie down on the bed, and then he called to Moshe's neshama, saying, "Biti, my daughter, for 120 years I allowed you to reside in the body of Moshe Rabbeinu. Tzi'i v'al ta'achari, it's time for you to come out. Do not delay." But the neshama responded, "I do not want to leave him. Eini rotza latzeis mimenu. I do not want to part from this holy body." Even after Hashem requested again, the neshama refused, pleading, "Hanicheni bimkomi, leave me here." At that point, Hashem had no choice but to gently take the neshama out. But Osasha, at that very moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem wept. The malachim began to cry. The sun and the moon wept, and the heavens and the earth joined in mourning. The entire universe felt the profound loss of Moshe Rabbeinu. Meanwhile, Yehoshua searched desperately for his teacher Moshe, but he couldn't find him. Vayevakesh Yehoshua as Moshe, v'lo matza'o, vayevk. Yehoshua cried in sorrow, and soon all of Klal Yisrael joined in the collective grief for their irreplaceable leader, teacher, and guide. The crying of the heavens and earth reminds us of the magnitude of his loss, not just for Bnei Yisrael, but for the entire world. Rabbi Sachs teaches that, like Moshe Rabbeinu, each of us will face a Jordan, a barrier, or endpoint that we will not cross. There will be dreams and goals we may not see fulfilled in our lifetime, and that's okay, because our mission is not just about reaching the destination ourselves. Rather, it's about ensuring that we leave others behind us who will continue the journey in our stead. This is our responsibility as a people, to transmit the legacy, the values, and the mission to the next generation so that they can carry on where we left off. This idea is deeply rooted in the proclamation we make every day in the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, Hashem, who is our God, Hashem is one. Rashi explains that right now Hashem is Elokeinu, the God of the Jewish people, but the day will come when he will be recognized as the God of the entire world. This vision is captured in the prophecy by Yom HaHu, Yihye Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Our mission, then, is part of this unfolding story, where our work continues beyond our own lifetime, contributing to the ultimate redemption, when all of humanity will recognize Hashem's oneness. Just as Moshe did not enter the promised land, but prepared Yehoshua to lead in his place, so too must we prepare the next generation to carry forward the mission of spreading the knowledge of Hashem. It is through them that we ensure that our personal Jordan does not signify the end, but rather the continuation of a journey toward a world united under the banner of Hashem Echad. Thank you for learning together.